So first of all, I would love to talk briefly about our collaborators, because we won't be able to achieve the kind of success or even go ahead with the webinar at all without the support of different organizations that have come together to see how can we create a knowledge base for youth and young people that want to go into agribusiness in different ways. First is Washington State University, who gave me the opportunity at least to be here and also to be able to bring different organizations together. Then maybe even more importantly, Osun State University, and even the opportunity to have our father in the house with us, the VC, it has gone well and beyond, not just to support this effort, but even to be present with us. I'm short of the words to describe the feeling. So we are very, very, very grateful for having you here with us, and we're just super grateful. There's no other words to describe it. I also want to also thank Bowen University also for also encouraging their staff and their students also to join. So we are grateful for that. FarmWeller, that's my organization, which is taking some of the work we've been doing over the years on how can we actually empower more people. So they are responsible for whether email management and different things and logistics that help make this webinar a reality. And also Cattle Food, I could see that Mr. Tinuke also has joined the panel being here, and also all the collaborators, whether we're talking about Agrimat or we're talking about Sheyi Potato Farm, or we're even talking about organization even led by Elizabeth. So we're very grateful for having all of you and for the support that we have received from you all. The talk today is going to be a little bit maybe more structured than last week. So first of all, I'm going to have like a brief introduction of the members of the panelists. First of all, will be our father, the VC, Professor Okwola. Maybe just like a welcome brief. So we'd first like to welcome you, sir. Yeah, we'll love like maybe like a welcome remark for you, sir. Is Professor there? Hello? Okay. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a network issue, but in view of that, I could see also that Professor Kainde is here. Professor Kainde is the Dean of the Faculty of Agriculture in Osun State University, and he has been the brain behind it and making all the logistics in terms of working together possible. Last week, due to technical issues, I was unable to bring him. I couldn't find him in the member, so I'm so grateful for having him in the panelists today. Sir, could you maybe help us with like a brief remark, sir?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Let me first appreciate the organizers for putting together a platform where a timely conversation that the world needs can come up and go on, which is the agribusiness conversation that we are having. No doubt, that is the way to go now. And no doubt, it is coming at a time where youth should actually take charge of the agri sphere and make it more like a business that usually is not observed. So I appreciate you for putting something together, and I want to believe that it will go places in certain problems of youth involvement in agriculture. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. We really, really appreciate that. I also, because of time, I also want to have a brief introduction of the members of the panel. First of all, I would love to bring Ms. Atinuke Lebile. She is the co-founder of Cattle Food, and with so many awards, I couldn't list all of them, so many things that Ms. Lebile, could you give us like a brief introduction of yourself so that everybody could be aware about who you are, what you do, and we are grateful for having you here.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Adewale, for having me. My name is Atinuke. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you clearly.
Yes, we can.
Okay, fine. Okay. My name is Atinuke Lebile, and I'm the co-founder of Cattle Foods. So Cattle Foods is a food company that will process cassava into several value-added products. We also process vegetables and fruit. And we are located in Osun State. And so far, we've been able to commercialize about 4 products from cassava. Although from our research, we've been able to get about 25 products from cassava, apart from normal garri and the people that we all know about. So far, those are the major things that we do in Cattle Food. And we also encourage trainees, people come in for trainings and all that. And I'm so glad to be seeing Bowen University here because food and nutrition and dietitian students who come in for trainings to Cattle Food. So it's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate that. I would also love to bring in another members of the panelists, Miss Elizabeth, from Kenya. She's the founder of Uzali Farm as well as the co-founder of La Famia Greens. Elizabeth, could you just give a brief overview of yourself and what you do?
Hello, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Okulo from Kenya. I am an agripreneur and the co-founder of La Famia Greens, and Uzali Farm is currently known as La Famia Greens. So currently I'm running two ventures, that is La Famia Greens and AfriFoodie. Both are agri-tech companies, and majorly we deal with hydroponic farming, aquaponic farming, and also training of entrepreneurs in these areas. I have a background in microbiology and also hydroponic technology and agribusiness management and entrepreneurship and leadership from Kenya. Yeah. Thank you all, and it is a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Elizabeth. We are very grateful for having you here. I think most of us, Mr. Abiola was here last week, but maybe just a very brief in introduction of yourself, sir.
My name is Abiola Lawa. I work with Agrimat Nigeria. We specialize in vegetable production and encourage agripreneurs in using drip irrigation. We preach the gospel of vegetable cultivation with the use of drip irrigation. So thank you for having me.
Good thank morning. You so much, Mr. Lawa. We're grateful for you being here with us today. Miss Sheyi Adibare, popularly known as Sheyi Potato, I think she's also here. She was here last week as well. Maybe just a very brief introduction of yourself too before we go into the conversation today.
Sheyi Adibare, hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, it's a good morning to you all. My name is Sheyi Hajibare, also known as Sheyi Potato. Sheyi Potato is a sweet potato expert farmer, especially the orange flesh types. And it would interest you to know that producing food crops like medicine has been our greatest selling point. Besides, Sheyi also believes that agribusiness is beyond farming, and so she offers smart trainings to people, exposing them to other lucrative businesses in the field of agriculture. Once again, it's my pleasure being here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us here today. So before we go into the conversation, there's a little bit of some house cleaning that I would love to do. First of all, one of the things we got from last week is a number of people want to comment, but there wasn't clear instruction on how to do that. So automatically, the participants are put on the mute mode just to be able to have some, for us to be able to hear ourselves clearly. However, if you have a very important comment you would like to make, there is a feature in your webinar through which you can raise your hand. Apart from that also, there is a chat house whereby you can comment. So we have people also monitoring the chat house in the box so that you can actually comment from there. And if there's need to unmute you, we can also do that from here. So we really, really want this to be a conversation, not just a one-way thing. We really want to have your comment. So you can send a message through the chat box if there's anything that is confusing about that or how to go about it. The second thing is the group. So last week we created WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups to be able to take the conversation beyond this webinar. What we did last week is just to create the group. We're hoping to start a very rigorous conversation from that group this coming week. But one of the things we started last week, it's also a challenge. So this group is going to be used for a number of things. One of it is a weekly challenge whereby that is focused on something related, a topic related to agribusiness. For instance, last week, it's about people understanding the why of their business, not just what you want to do, what is the reason behind it. So we share a couple of videos and articles that could help people understand that, why it is important to have it. And we help people to write what is the why of their own agribusiness idea that they have in mind. So at the end of today, we're going to be announcing the winner of that challenge. And we're going to be having another challenge as from Monday. That's only one of the things we do in the groups. There are so many other things that will be introduced through the group, whether through the Facebook groups conversation or the WhatsApp group conversation. If you are here, you must have received an email with a link to join that group. But if not, feel free to message or send even message on this chat box on how to receive that. Yeah, the last thing in the house cleaning is the purpose. Why are we here? Our goal is to actually bring a lot of people together, especially entrepreneurs that are doing very well in their field, to be able to share knowledge that are very important for youths to have in order to develop their own agribusiness ideas. We believe there are certain entrepreneurship skills that youths need to acquire to develop their business from just a one-man business to a business of repute. And our goal is to use this channel through collaboration with Osun State University and other universities as well to really help as many youth as possible in Nigeria and beyond as well. So there are other things that we want to do. For instance, we'll be going to be working with a lot of our collaborators in creating an entrepreneurship class course that people will be able to go through. Some of it that might even be certificated. Some of it might involve a lot of internship. Some of it might involve a lot of even opportunities along the line. So there are so many things we want to do with it, but the more people we have, the better we are able to achieve it. So our conversation today is focused on how do you kickstart your idea? without breaking the bank, without going bankrupt. We've seen, and this is born out of two things. Number one, we see a lot of young people and even old people that want to go into agriculture, investing so much money into agriculture, but within 2-3 years, lose all of that. We've also seen a lot of young people that say, oh, I want to go into agriculture, but I don't have money. I don't have fund. I don't have how to go about it and all of that. So there is a skill gap that we think is very crucial to be able to develop a working agribusiness, to be able to develop a profitable agribusiness. So the idea is, can we bring how do you go about it from just an idea into something that actually works? One of the things we find out is when you're developing your startups, from my own interaction with young people and a lot of people in Nigeria, most people think of startup as just something to make money or maybe to make a product. But the process of developing your idea into a startup is actually beyond that. It's more about learning how to create a sustainable business model. And there is a process, there is a certain skill set that needs to be acquired in that journey. And one of the core principles in this is what we call lean startup. So lean startup, how can you start very small to learn as much as possible in growing your ideas into a business? So it's this idea of a frequent experiment and testing of different hypotheses to be able to create a vision from validated learning and also measure that to be able to know whether your idea is something you should pursue further or maybe something you should even not pursue further to throw away. That's the whole idea. So this week in the group, we're going to be taking the conversation more about the principles around startups. Around lean startup principle, and the whole rationale around it is, instead of making it complex plans that are based on assumptions, can you make an adjustment through this idea of a build, measure, learn feedback loop? We're going to be talking about it, the principles behind it, what is build, measure, learn feedback, what is minimum viable product, how do you produce it, all of that. We're going to be taking all that conversation into both the WhatsApp group and the Facebook group. But today, we want to learn from people that have actually applied those principles in one way or the other, both at a medium level, at a very small level, and even at international level. So we really, really want to learn from practical experience, which is the whole idea of our conversation today. Having said that, I'm going to bring in Ms. Atinuke. My first question to you is, now I have an agribusiness idea that I want to pursue. What are the key features of a lean startup principle that I should adopt in kickstarting my agribusiness idea?
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Adewale. So foremost, I think we really need to understand what the lean startup is all about before we bring it into the agribusiness. So in summary, I can say lean startup is just about you learning about what your customer really wants, how to go about it, and using minimum resources to achieve maximum efficiency. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you clearly. I muted myself too.
Oh, yes, okay. We can hear you.
Yeah.
So for us to kickstart our agribusiness using the lean startup principles, there are some questions we need to ask ourselves. Why do we even want to go into the agribusiness? Is it that because everybody is saying that, agri is now the next crude oil, agri is now the next money-making phase, on all that? Is that why we want to go into the agribusiness? We need to have a vision, a reason why we're going into agribusiness at first, before you kickstart, so that you don't lose your money at the end of the day. We need to understand that, okay, we have several aspects of agribusiness as a whole. Agri when you say agribusiness, it's not just about you planting or just you raising birds. There are a lot of value chain along the agribusiness sector. So you need to understand what are the aspects of that agribusiness that you think you want to key into or you want to venture into. And you need to get more knowledge in that aspect before even venturing into it. Now, okay, after you realize that, okay, this is the aspect of agribusiness I want to venture into. Do you have customers that really want that product? Because product is not about you just bringing out something and people know that, Atinuka produced this. And Mr. Adewale is farming pepper. Do you have customer base already, or do you think that is what people want at that time? So it's not just about you going into what interests you most times, because some of us say, I have passion to grow tomatoes, that's why I'm doing that. Or I have passion to process cassava, that's what I'm doing. No, you need to understand, okay, apart from your passion, is this what people really want? After that, then, what innovation are you bringing into this idea? I tell people, there is no part of agribusiness that you want to start today that someone else have not started. It's just about you bringing innovation into what you are bringing into the market, or tweaking some things out from the existing product that is already in the market, so that it shows that your own product is really, really viable and what people can actually get value for. Then, after all this, you need to have a prototype of what you want to do. In a lean startup principles, we need to think about having prototype. Don't just start producing your product. You need to have a prototype. If you're starting a farm, you need to start small. Don't just venture into a big farm. I have hectares of land. I want to start farming. No, if you don't have the basic knowledge, you need to start small. Don't just start it. Knowledge is actually very, very important. It is very, very important.
That's very true.
Then, you need, after getting your prototype or getting the product, if you're going to agro-processing, or if you're going into a cold chain logistics, or if you're going to storage, you need to test your market, the customers that you say that really want your product. There's a way you should test them out. Is that taking your product to them, or bringing their product, if you're into storage in the agribusiness sector, or bringing their product to show with you to see how viable your business is, so that you don't just waste your money. That is what lean startup is. In lean startup, you don't just waste money. And look up, your prototype does not need to be perfect initially, sincerely. It doesn't need to be perfect initially, because definitely people are going to give you feedback. And this is the feedback you're going to get back into your business to make adjustments and see how you can bring in a viable agribusiness sector that you want to go into. Then, like I said, is this what your customer really wants? Is your agribusiness solving a customer problem at this time? If you look at this period of pandemic and all that, there are a lot of things that customers actually want around agribusiness. Logistics is one of the major issues that we face, even farmers are facing at this period. Now, we never knew that Gary can be more expensive than crude oil. It's just this period that we know that, so Gary is more important. Food is more important. At this period now, people want food products that are healthy. So if you're going into food processing, or either you're into food processing or you're going into cultivation or something, are you ready to give people healthy food to eat? So if you know that you have not put all these things in place, you don't know your customer, you don't know the sector you want to go into, you don't know how to put innovation into what you want to, the set of agribusiness you want to go into, you don't have the basic knowledge of what you want to go into, because One of the major things is the basic knowledge. You have an understanding of what you want to grow into. If you don't have it, then I beg you, do not start. Do not start. Until you have all this knowledge, you have good customer base, that you know your product is solving a problem. You know that you can bring innovation. You know that by the time you put one or two things together, in order to minimize your funding, you can come up with a good product. Then, if you can't put all those things together, please do not start agribusiness. But another thing is, you need to understand the type of the aspect of agribusiness you are getting into. Agriculture is not just about planting or raising birds or things that we all know. Because when you say agriculture, everybody is going to planting. You need to look at the value chain.
Yeah.
And we have different value chain, from logistics to storage to farm record.
There's a question on that, because of your experience in the cassava value chain. So I'm still going to be asking you that question to be able to share maybe some of your practical experiences in terms of untapped opportunities in that value chain. But before then, let me quickly bring in Mrs. Sheyi here. I'm a little bit familiar with your story. So I'm wondering if you could also share practical experiences of what you have learned as far as the advantage of starting small. You know, one of the things that was mentioned here in terms of the idea of the lean startup is start small, have a prototype. And this is something that I have seen that you have put into consideration in your business. Could you share a little bit more practical experience of what you have learned because you started small? Hello, Ms. Sheyi, are you there? I think you are muted. You might want to, I've tried to unmute you, but I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead, please.
All right, thank you, Dr. Cornelius. My practical experiences, wow. Number one, I would like to say the learning opportunity is actually in the process of starting small. The learning opportunity is in the process of starting small. And I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm an agronomist. Yes, I studied agronomy both in my first degree and in my second degree. In fact, despite the fact that I was committed to attending classes in the course of my two degrees, also despite the fact that I was able to make good grades from the two degrees, in fact, currently I'm still interested in research. But you see, one thing that I've discovered is this. I can categorically say this to you, that most of the things that I've learned within the four walls of the classrooms are not applicable on the field. Yes. In fact, I see a huge gap between the theory and the practical. For instance, in sweet potato production, in the classroom, I learned that the recommended spacing for planting sweet potato is 1 meter by 0.3 meters. And that's 100 centimeter by 30 centimeter. And that is actually correct. But you see, the problem is this. For you to achieve that spacing, especially the 0.3 meter on your ridge, on each ridge, it would require you having the experience beforehand before you can do it well. What am I saying? You see, let's say I measure and cut out two sticks, each 30 centimeter long. I give you one and I hold one. And let's say we are to plant on a ridge or two different ridges, let's say of the same length, let's say 21 meter long ridge. Now, using that spacing of 100 centimeter by 30 centimeter, you see, you should be able to have a population density of about 70 plant stands on each ridge. But I tell you, if I give you that same stick that I'm holding of the same length, you won't be able to achieve it. Why? Because based on my experience, I have learned that there is a direction your planting should follow on the ridge for you to achieve your plant population density of that same, of that 70 plant stance by your ridge of 21 meter long. Now you see, that one of the advantages of starting small is that you will be able to learn in the process. Let's assume you want to start big. You might not be able to discover and master that. And everybody will be like, I'm actually planting and I've been using the recommended spacing, but still I've not been able to maximize yield. No. In your starting small, there are things you would understand better that are different from the things that you have learned while on campus. No, the next thing is that starting small embraces your mistakes and also gives you the opportunity to make necessary adjustments. I said starting small embraces your mistakes and also gives you the opportunity to make necessary adjustments. Now, for instance, I'm still on the plant spacing for sweet potato. Okay. There was something that happened on my 2 acres farmland that I used for sweet potato. There was a day I hired 2 more laborers. So normally I measure and cut out the sticks and I give to them. But something happened. I discovered that they were moving very, very fast. They were moving faster than myself. And I was curious. I was wondering. Initially, I thought it was because they were men. And I was wondering what exactly was going on. So I decided to go and investigate. Lo and behold, when I got there, instead of them having that, for instance, 70 plant stands on each ridge, they were having between 35 to 40 plant stands. And you can imagine, despite the fact that I did the demonstration for them before they actually started, but then they did the wrong thing. Why? Because they did not really get the explanation that I gave to them. But what did we do? Instead of me quarreling with them, I did not quarrel with them at all. What I simply did was that, my people, please, we just have to go back and do the right thing. Let's correct this. Because if we fail to do so, this is just the beginning of shortage. You will just, and you know, sweet potato is a cover crop. And you won't even know that you don't really have much there. And the thing will cover up. And you will be thinking, hoping that by the time you start harvesting, you will have high yields. It's a lie. So I just told them, let's quickly go back and do the right thing. And it's because it's actually on the 2 acres of land. But you can imagine if you want to start with 20 acres of land instead of that. And you are just a novice. You are just starting new. So you might want to say, afterward, the mistakes that we made, we only made a mistake on 1 acre like that. Please, my people, let's just move on. And at the end of the day, probably you are supposed to have a return of like, let's say 25 tons from your 20 acres. You just discover that you make maybe 20 tons. Excuse me, that 5 tons is not something you should joke with. It's the beginning of shortage. Oh. So the next thing I want to talk about is starting small makes you a manager of resources and not a waster of resources. How? I hope you know that it's not about how big your farm is. I hope we understand that. It's not about how big your farm is, but it's about how well you could manage it. For instance, let's say you have 1 hectare of land, that's 10,000 square meters, and I have 1 acre of land, which is 4,000 square meters. And let's say we both grow sweet potato. Now, it is expected of you probably to have like 6 tons per hectare. And for me, that I'm using 1 acre, maybe it is expected of me to have like, let's say 2.5 tons per acre. But you see, if you fail to manage your 1 hectare well, you might end up having as low as 2 tons per hectare. And for me, on the other hand, if I do everything the way I'm supposed to do it, I might end up having that same 2 tons for my own 1 acre. And you see, what's now the difference between us in terms of our yield? Despite the fact that we have the differences in the size of the land that we use, you use 1 acre and I use 1 acre. So starting small would actually help you to manage your resources well and not being a waster of it. And lastly, on that point, I would like to say that starting small gives you, it gives room for proper monitoring and detailed record keeping. It gives room for proper monitoring and detailed record keeping. Now, what is the relevance of this point? This is it. You see, from your well-detailed record, you would be able to make informed or better decisions for your future farm operations or activities on a larger scale. That is, you will be able to replicate same methods that you have applied when you started small, you will be able to now replicate it on a bigger farm. And of course, you will be able to maximize yields. You will have greater yields compared to when you just start with a very big land like that. Okay, so it allows for proper monitoring and detailed record keeping that would now be useful for you when you want to scale up, when you want to move, you know, to a bigger land. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that idea. I've had a lot of conversation with people, even people that have invested money into agriculture and started very big. As simple as using the wrong spacing, I've lost, and so many people losing millions and millions of naira. That's part of this idea of can you start smart, which is the conversation we are going to be taking further in the groups this week about how do you go about it? What are the principles involved? But before then, I want to maximize the time of our members of our panelists. I also see that a number of people have been asking questions. One of them was asked by Mr. King Capello, asking about what can be the reason for startup and agribusiness than make any money or having a good life. This will be a question that we address maybe towards the end of the conversation. So for people that have questions, please keep the questions coming in the Zoom webinar chat room. We address as many of them as possible. And those that we cannot address, we take them to the group to be able to continue the conversation there. So I quickly want to bring in also Mr. Biola, maybe also from maybe brief, maybe specific examples of what you also have learned from your experiences as the advantages of starting small. And this could be in terms of, it's your experience. What are the practical experiences you've learned from your own agribusiness company? Yeah. Oh, I think you are still muted. Let me unmute you.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Hello. 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 Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Once again, my name is Abiola Lawal. From what you have asked and the contributions from the early speakers, sincerely, I must confess, my experience is totally different from what my friend Sheyi has said, and I would like to put it in a short way. Before I venture into agribusiness, I used to work in a bank. I was doing 8 to 5. I'm sure all of us understand the meaning of 8 to 5. You go in the morning, and then you come back late in the evening. Then one evening, a friend just came to me that, Biola, there's money in agric. You that you don't have time. I said, wow, what should we do? He said, it's plantain, that we should cultivate plantain. Then from there, the journey started. Can you imagine? I invested money. I acquired a 10-acre farm in Odeda in Ogun State. And we embarked on a project of planting 10-acre plantain. We invested money to plant 10-acre plantain. Do and behold, at the end of the season, I did not harvest a plantain from the 10-acre farm. Why? The answer is straight and forward. My intention of venturing into the business is just because a friend came to me and told me that I will make profit from planting plantain. What did I do? My friend will call me and tell me that today what we need to do is to clear land, and I'll send money. After clearing, we need to buy suckers. I also credit his account. After that, we need to pay the laborers. I also credit his account. Then once in a month, I will leave Lagos at 6:30 to Odeda. That's what we did for like. Then towards the end of this, it means that I invest in a farm. One, I have no technical knowledge of the plantain business. Two, I don't even have time to monitor what is going on the farm. My workers knows that Oga can never visit the farm during the week. He will always come on Saturday. I won't sleep over. Saturday evening, I have to get back to Lagos. So at the end of that season, I couldn't get even 5,000 from the investment I made on the farm. That is one. After that, as if I have not learned again, another person came up that no, instead of doing plantain, we should do cucumber. Good. We said instead of 10 acres, let me quickly maximize what I have on the farm too. We also planted 2 acres of cucumber. At this time, the harvest was fantastic. The cucumber, the output was very okay. And then we transferred the cucumber to mile 12 because I stay in Lagos. Not until when we get to mile 12 that I now discover that there are different types of cucumber. The one I planted is called, even the market women and the malam, they said is kandu. Instead of
Are you still there, Mr. Abiola? We can't hear you again. Yeah, I think maybe it's a network issue. But the idea, I thank you once again, if you can hear us.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, I can hear you, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you, yeah. Go ahead, we can hear you.
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you
hear me? Yeah. So I said after we planted the plantain that we made. Plus, considering the type of variety that is obtainable in the market, the output was fantastic. We harvested and we take it to the market. It was when we get to the market that we now discover that the variety that we planted was not the one that is acceptable in the market. So what happens? We also make a loss from that. Not until after these two instances that we have to go back to the drawing board. But we give glory to God. After starting with those gigantic white elephant projects, we now have to go back to the drawing board and now determine what to do first and what to do next. And lo and behold, here we are today. We have learned our lessons and we give glory to God and for people that put us through. Now we are doing well on the farm and in the market. Thank you. That's my experience.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that experience. The reason or why it is important to start small cannot be overstated. Because it is principle that we equip young people with the skill that is needed to be successful. For Africa to rise up to the challenges that we have, we need hundreds of thousands of agripreneurs solving all the major challenges that we have in the whole value chain to be able to address that. And a key component of that is giving people opportunity to acquire the skill that is needed. Part of that is learning from the experiences of people that have gone ahead. And one of the things we're doing with this whole group also is creating a mentorship program through which we can link people with potential mentors along the line. But I would love also to quickly bring in Elizabeth. from her own experiences too. I know Elizabeth started also small in different ways, and they're still growing up in different ways. But I want to rephrase the questions. That what are some of the practical examples of common assumptions that anyone trying to venture into agribusiness need to validate before going forward? In your own case, how did you validate these assumptions in your own business? So everybody that want to go into a business, we have certain assumptions. So, I will do this. What are those assumptions that you think are very crucial? And how did you go about validating it in your own business?
Thank you very much again. From my experience, number one assumption that I had when I was starting my agribusiness venture was that people will obviously buy my products. So what I needed to do is just to plant them and take it to the market, not knowing that customer is the king, and what I needed to do most at the first instance was to take this particular product when it is in the prototype stage and take it to the customer and get feedback from them. And then from there, have now a validation that the product is what the customers really want. So recently we were working on value addition for our vegetable products. Our main focus was on tomato. So we realized one thing, that we have a lot of tomatoes going bad, especially during seasons when we have most of the farmers bringing in produce in the market. So, you know, tomato is a perishable product. And what we wanted to do was, we thought of, we can just make tomato powders and sell them to people. So this one was just an idea. And we had assumed that, yes, people will love tomato powders. They normally buy powdery products in the supermarket. So if we can actually make this product and put them in the supermarket, then they can come in and buy. So we made the prototype and we had the tomato powder, and unfortunately, it did not go well in the market. And later on, we realized that our customers actually prefer fermented vegetables and dried vegetables as compared to powdered vegetables like tomato. So the worst assumption that we had was customer will always buy our products, because we thought ourselves that we always have the greatest product. Yeah, and I think this is the common scenario with most of the entrepreneurs. You get into an agribusiness thinking that you have this grand idea, and then this grand idea means that you're going to get a large amount of money. So being that you're motivated with the money aspect, you forget to understand how the market is, who are your competitors, and what are people doing, and what does the customer really want from you. So I think the most important thing is actually listening to the customer and coming up with a solution with them, not for them.
Wow. Thank you. I think that's one of the key components of the Lean Startup. I'm very glad with the practical experience that you've shared. That it is not enough for you to assume that customer will buy whatever you produce, which I think also relates to the example shared by Mr. Abiola earlier on. So there is so much assumptions that you need to actually test and also find out and clarify them before kickstarting your agribusiness idea. And these are very crucial if you don't want to go bankrupt. And we really want to avoid people repeating the mistakes, which is the focus of our conversation today. But I want to change the gear a little bit in the conversation. I want to bring in Mr. Tinuke. Last week, we laid a foundation for different agribusiness ideas. How do you identify it? So one of the areas of major opportunity that still remain is in the cassava value chain. And I know Mr. Tinuke is a very active player in this with tons of experience. So I don't know if you could share some of the untapped opportunities right now in the cassava value chain. The idea is to be able to bring that also to drive practical conversations on what people need to do before jumping on those opportunities, which is the core of the conversation today. So I don't know if you are able to share some of your ideas on that, Mr. Tinuke.
Okay, thank you so much, Doctor. So in cassava value chain, like I said initially, we've been able to get too many products from cassava, and which is beyond just the fufu, gari, and what we are used to. You know, cassava is one of the major crops that we cultivate, especially in West Africa, Nigeria. But one of the major value chain of cassava that people have not really tapped into, or that Nigeria as a whole has not even really tapped into, is cassava chips for industries, for pharmaceuticals. Cassava chips is one of the products that China has been asking from us, like 100 tons of cassava every year, that we've not been able to supply once in Nigeria. Why? Because 80% of the cassava we cultivate in Nigeria goes to food. And 75% of that food goes to gari. And that is why you can never see an advert for gari. You know, cassava chips is one of the major things that we can key into. But all the same, before you key into cassava chips, you need to know the company, what's it called? What would they call it now? Requirements for it. The dry matter, do they want it peeled or not peeled? And all those things, the quantity they want per time, and how long it should get to them, because by the time you are shipping, it might get a longer time on the sea, and you need to really know when it gets to them. So you don't just start. Another value chain of cassava that is not really tapped into, yes, we have a lot of companies doing cassava starch, but sincerely, in my own opinion and what I've seen, I can say we have just two major companies in Nigeria doing starch at the moment, which is Niji Farms and Saltree. You know, they do it on a large scale. I'm not saying there are no other companies, but those two companies do it on a large scale. And now people are asking for companies that are asking for cassava breweries, pharmaceutical companies are asking for cassava starch. Let me even not go far. Our cassava stem is not a business. We've gone beyond just giving farmers your cassava stem. I want to plant cassava. Come and give cassava stem from your farm. We've gone beyond that. Now cassava stem is money. Like, it is money that people buy. A bundle of cassava, like 50 pieces of cassava now, a bundle of stems goes for about 700, 1,000, if not, at this time. So it is money that you can get into. So if you really want to go into stem production, you need to know that the spacing of your cassava for stem production, if you really want to go into stem production, is different from the spacing of your cassava if you want to use the roots for production.
Yeah.
So we need to understand, for if you want to go into stem production, your spacing should be about 0.5 by 0.5 meters. But if we are going into crop, it's 1 meter by 0.7, and if you're using the root, it's 1 meter by 0.7 meters per spacing. Then we should also understand that we have different varieties of cassava. So don't just go into cassava. So if you're supplying cassava to industries, know the variety of cassava that they want. For cassava starch factory, they need a cassava with high starch content. So don't just go into it. And I encourage people, if you're not going into the value chain of cassava, please do not cultivate cassava. Do not just cultivate it for cultivating sake. I just want to sell cassava. I tell people like that. If you're not going to explore every other value chain of cassava, do not go into it. Because at the end of the day, you might not I'm not trying to, but you might not even be able to get whatever you invest back. It is now that cassava farmers are smiling and everybody's leveraging on the pandemic to sell sometimes a very expensive price. Apart from that, you need to understand now that we have white cassava, we have yellow cassava. So you need to, now for the yellow cassava, it is called Provitamil cassava. That's the bar fortified cassava. And you have the white cassava. So you need to understand, if you're going to be working with the yellow one, you're going to be working with the white one. Yeah. So in cassava, yeah, then you need to, then another product, for the yellow cassava, you can make your yellow cassava into custard. Unlike the main, the corn custard that we have, now you can, we now have cassava custard. It is called custard. But you need to understand that you cannot use your white cassava for it. Yeah. So if you're going to processing of the custard, you need you're using your yellow, the yellow one to process that. Also, there is market for cassava flour for confectionaries, for cassava bread and all that. You can key into that. And if you want to go into the logistic part of cassava to help farmers, sincerely, there is money in the logistic part of that cassava. Sometimes you want to transport cassava from your state to Osun state, it's for like 3 tons or 3.5 tons, about 60,000 naira. So, all these things are what you can key into. But sincerely, before you start, you need to understand that the money that is being required for each is not something that is much when it comes to, if you're just going into stem production. But if you're going into processing, like processing to cassava chips, processing to starch, processing into flour and custard and every other thing you want to process into, it is quite it might be quite expensive because of machineries. But like what we've been saying, that you need to start small. And starting small is you can do contract manufacturing. If you have your cassava, you can go to a factory that has all those machines and tell them to process for you. We started this in our own company. That was how we started. We were going to factories that has flash dryers, that has automated fryers to process for us. Before we now have the money to set up our own.
Yeah.
But there's the place of starting small, like we've been saying, is actually very, very important. Before we even start processing, doing contract processing, we started taking products from even some other manufacturers that are already in processing just to see the way the market takes the product and to understand the markets before we even started contract manufacturing. So when we understood the market and we already have a good customer base, that was when we started doing the contract manufacturing, then we're not able to set up our own. So the value chain of cassava that you can get into in Nigeria at the moment or wherever you are, cassava chips, it is very, very, like, it has really not been tapped into. It has really not been tapped into. We get order for cassava chips every time. But the content they are required for is something that I myself alone cannot do. And in cassava production, it requires collaboration also. Don't just say you want to start on your own. Because by the time you are ordering for 100 tons of gari, how many months will you be able to process that? If you have good factories that can also do that, you can collaborate with them. So, your cassava chips, your cassava flour, your cassava starch, flour for confectionaries. I'm not talking about the laughing that we eat now. We are already used to laughing and for fun. That's why I'm not talking about it. But cassava chips, the cassava flour for confectionaries, your cassava stash, the stem market, even cassava leaves. People use it now for production. There are things that we can key into in the line of cassava. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much for that. I would have said maybe can you expand more on how you started, but I know we're already running behind and there's a number of questions there that I still want us to address. But I want to summarize Mr. Tinuke has just said. No, she just identified 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different potential opportunities that is very critical that people can actually tap into just within the cassava value chain alone. And I know there's just so much more. Talking about the logistics, I last year, at least I received message from at least more than 20 individuals with hundreds of hectares having logistics challenges from their cassava transportation from one place to another. It's still a huge opportunity. The leaves, the flower, the castor, the stem, the starch, the chips. But the core idea here is, how can you start any of these ideas small? How can you test run your idea? How can you start without going bankrupt? And there is one key advice that was given there. That's this idea of even contract manufacturing. People that even want to go into areas that involve huge machineries, whether you want to go into processing. So you don't want to start by just buying all these millions of naira, spending it on having the machineries. It's one of the principles there is the idea of contract manufacturing, which was used by Mr. Tenuke and her group in Cattle Foods before investing now in their own machineries. The other idea is the power of collaborations. These are all the key elements and principles that are very, very important to take into consideration in kickstarting your agribusiness idea without going bankrupt. I want to take one of the questions here, or maybe I'll take two of them together, because I'm going to take them to Mr. Abiola. So Mr. Oloyede, I think Oloyede Heritage, I'm not sure whether that's the full name, has a question. Can I venture into agribusiness with little knowledge of what it is all about? Somebody also asked another question, which was directed at Mr. Abiola earlier on too. The person asked, did you continue the business or did you have to plan something else? Maybe if you could help even address these two questions. So the first question is, did you continue cucumber or did you have to venture into something else? But the other question is, can I venture into an agribusiness with little knowledge of what it is all about? Hello, Mr. Abiola, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can
you? Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello.
We can hear you now.
Question. Yeah, that did we stop producing cucumbers? No, we didn't stop producing cucumbers. I think what we did was to go back to our drawing board. And it all boiled down to the issue of starting small now. You know, then when we rush, let me use that word, when we rush into it, our intention was just because of the profit maximization. But now, what we are doing now is the mini farming approach was what we adopted. So instead of doing 2 acres at once, we reduce it into 0.5 acres. So then, we cultivate 0.5 acre per batch. Then we have an understanding with our off-takers. So when we cultivate 0.5, they start off-taking. Then we go to the second 0.5. We start producing, and that's how we've been managing it for now. And sincerely, we are getting results.
Yeah, thank you for that. The second question is for Mr. Oloyede. That can I venture into an agribusiness with little knowledge of what it is all about? I think that answers the question, the side.
To answer that, this question is one of the things that we highlighted last week. I doubt if I can encourage any entrepreneur to venture into agribusiness without knowledge or with little knowledge. It's like telling a man that is blind or with one eye to cross an express road by himself without aid. So instead of venturing into the business first, with half-baked knowledge. I think the entrepreneur needs to go to go into research about that particular agribusiness that he or she wants to venture in, into. So by so doing, the person needs to acquire not more knowledge about the agribusiness before I would advise him or her to venture into it.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. So it's key to acquire as much knowledge as possible before venturing into the business. I think Mr. Atunike also alluded on that, that you have to invest in the knowledge first, that it is very critical to invest in that knowledge. The education is very critical, but not just knowledge now, but practical knowledge. And asking the right questions. So knowing the right questions to ask is actually even maybe even the place to start. You know, so it's very important to invest in knowledge first. So I want to move into towards the end. The idea is I really don't want the webinar to be more than 90 minutes. And the number of questions also I still want us to take. We still also have to do even some house cleaning. We need to announce the winners of the challenge that we started. But I want to bring in maybe the last question I want to ask Ms. Atunike. What advice will you give a potential entrepreneurs who are thinking of starting their own business? What would be if you, so I know the advice could go unlimited. I would say top three things. You say, okay, these three things, don't mess it up. What would that be?
Thank you very much. My first advice is what we've been talking about. Please acquire knowledge and learning. Many people just jump into agriculture without proper due diligence. Please get practical knowledge of the agribusiness you want to go into. Then, for we youth, agric is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a scheme where you just get into and you want to make money, just like what Mr. Biola first did because he wanted to make money. It's not just for you to just make quick money. It requires patience. It requires your time. And the last one is, agric is not just about planting. Not just about the planting. It's not just about planting. You need to understand the various value chain that you want to key into. And it's come with a lot of risk, but knowledge. I can help you mitigate this risk. And don't forget, start small. Don't just rush. Thank you.
Thank you. I love that. I love the way you summarize it. One, learn. Invest in practical knowledge. Number two, have the right perspective. It's not about quick, make money quick and things like that, because you need to have patience and you need to invest time. And our goal is to see how we can create a critical mass of people that have this right perspective. Because this, having the right perspective of agribusiness, is very critical to build an enduring business out of it. The last thing there is understand the value chain. Understand the value chain. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think I'm going to bring that also to Elizabeth. If you are also to list three advice that you give to a potential entrepreneurs that want to start, maybe have an idea and want to kickstart, what would be your top three advice to such entrepreneur? Elizabeth, are you there? Also, for people that have questions, okay. Time to submit your questions. We are following the chat room so that we can bring the question also. Yeah. Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Hello. Once again, thank you very much. So I have the following advice to those who want to start an agribusiness. Number one thing, your idea is nothing unless it is tested, unless it is implemented. So don't overwork yourself thinking more of the idea. If you have an idea, just do it. Get into it, implement it. You know what to do. And number two, with that idea, ensure that you are solving an actual problem. Don't think that you are offering a solution which is only in your head, and you will only solve a problem by engaging people who are your potential customers. So work on solving a human problem in the agribusiness value chain. And number three is invest on social capital. This is very important. In most cases, people don't go from one level to the next level. That one is in terms of implementing their business ideas because they are normally confused. They don't know where to start from. And if you are interested in a certain agribusiness value chain, look for people who are in those particular value chain. Contact them, ask them questions, learn more about them, and also look around in your network for people who might be interested in investing. The thing is, I might not have the capital to start today, but I know someone who knows someone who is interested in investing in the agribusiness. So always invest on social capital. It is your currency.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, that's... So I love this idea of just streaming it, you know, into three things. It helps the extensions and gather it together. For instance, Mr. Tinuka say invest in knowledge, learn. But Elizabeth is extending that further. Don't just learn, test that knowledge as well. Test it, which is also one of the critical components of the lean startup approach that we're going to be taking off in the conversation. The other thing brought there is solve a natural problem, not a made-up solution in your head. Solve an actual problem. So not just that I have this brilliant idea, it is not enough. We're going to be talking more about this in the Lean Startup teaching series that we're going to be taking up this week, which is a critical component of it. Collaboration, which is also one of the things also mentioned by Mr. Tinuka earlier on too. Whether in terms of mentorship, or whether even in terms of potential investors, which is going to be the focus of our conversation next week. Our conversation next week, how do you fund an agribusiness idea? How do you fund it? I've seen many people using this as an excuse, and I've seen also many people going about it the wrong way. So understanding the funding mechanisms, understanding what an investor is looking for, understanding what are the critical mechanisms. So next week, we're going to be having a lot of conversation about this. And as also as we move ahead in different areas of it. So before I ask Mr. Biola and also Sheyi the same question, there is a question brought here by Mr. Mao Kende. I'm sorry if I'm missing the name, but the question is directed to Ms. Atinuke. The question is this. You are able to venture into agribusiness by the planting and processing of cassava. For someone who wants to go into manufacturing and processing of another product, how will you tell the person to practically go about it? So that's the first question the person asks. But I think it seems the question continue, or maybe that's an answer. So maybe let's start with that, Ms. Atinuke, maybe in just a few minutes, because we are towards the rounding up process now. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. To the question. So, like, I'm not just processing cassava alone. I process fruit and I process vegetables. It's just that the cassava one is pronounced. Now, for you to go into other processing of other crop or other crop of vegetables or food that you want to go into, you need to understand what are the various ways that you can process those things into. You need to think outside the box. Sometimes it is good to think outside the box and look at what other things you can do with what you want to produce than what is in the market. Then number two is, if you really don't have the money to start, or like I said, to start the old machinery thing, you could get people, if you get people who are already into something like that, they have the machine that you need. If you can actually get in touch with me to tell me what you want to process, and I can actually link you up. And if it's something I can do, I can let you know. But you need to understand several things that you can process into. Like I said when I started, we've been able to get about 25 products that we can process cassava into. it all takes about our own research. So don't just start, or don't just go into what other people are into. Think about what other things that you can do. Then the place of cultural manufacturing is not something that you should just look aside. Get people who are already into something similar that you think you can use that machine to process yours. It will be more cheaper for you than you investing money in machineries. And investing money in machineries, at the end of the day, realize that the product is not acceptable. Just like Elizabeth said about the tomato powder. It's something I've also tried myself, and I realized that people really don't get, they don't buy into that idea than the tomato paste. So you need to understand the crop you want to process, and you can get in touch. If it's something that I can help with, definitely I can help you with it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. There's a lot of questions there. There's a question. I didn't finish the question by Mr. Hamaru Kainde. The question continued further, that to actually start working on processing idea, will you advise me to process at home first and then try the prototype in a processing company? It went further. How does one go about it, and how to get the required guidance and mentoring, and how do we also get this to the market and to get their views on this? We might not be able to take all the questions because these are very, very good questions that we want to take. But I will encourage also this person to join the group, because we're going to be taking further some of these questions. We're going to see if we can also get some of the time of Mr. Tinuke to be able to answer some of these questions in the WhatsApp group, so that we can actually send it as voice note to the whole group. So please join the group for us to be able to take that question. But there's another question also by Tomiwa. I feel it is just only knowledge, or must you have a practical knowledge? I feel you should not only have done to another person's farm who is more experienced and see how things are done there for you to have experience. I'm not sure I totally understand that question, but the whole idea here is don't just invest in knowledge, invest in practical knowledge. The knowledge that will actually help your business. And part of that is researching. Part of that is going to other people that have gone ahead of you. Part of that is networking with other people as well. There's another question here by Mr. Michael Olasunkomi. Sir, marketing agricultural produce is a challenge in Nigeria. For sweet potato, cassava, and other tuber crops, can Ms. Atunuke or any other panelists help in this area? I think I will ask Mr. Michael to expand a little bit further on that. What do you mean by can help in this area? Do you mean shedding light on how to go about marketing? Or if you could rephrase that a little bit more. But I agree with you that marketing is a huge challenge. Which is also one of the reasons why we're saying start small, learn, not just about the production, not even just about the value chain, but also about the marketing. It's one of the critical components why we are preaching lean startup, why we are saying start small, because you really want to understand all the dynamics within the whole business chain. Business chain is not just the production or just the processing. There are other part of it, customer acquisition, marketing your product, investing in development and all of that. One of the things we're doing also at FarmWellers is developing farmers' own marketing logistics company. But that's not maybe something we go into details today, but I agree with you, it's a major challenge. There's another question here by Mutada. I would like all speakers to address the issue of bankruptcy in agribusiness, which does not come from the lack of know-how alone, but products and produce stealing. Can this speaker tell us from their experience in this, how they safeguard their product against this? So let me expand further on that. So Mr. Mutada is asking about, how do you protect your farm? There is a Fulani herdsmen issue, there is stealing, there is a lot of other things there. Do you guys have experience, or can you share from your experience on how do you safeguard your products. I don't know if any of our panelists want to address this challenge.
Yeah, can I quickly share my experience?
Please go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, fine. So let me start from the area of Fulani X-Men. There was a time we were trying to do a project for an international organization, and the whole project was for us to cultivate about 30 hectares of cassava for just stem multiplication and all. And just understand that the Fulani went into the farm and were operating the cassava for their cattle to eat, and were just able to save about 10 hectares from 30 hectares. So, and we realized that as the Fulani, as we are calling the policemen, the Fulani are calling DPU. So they already have like this ninja and all that. But one of the things that we've been able to do is we actually went to the Fulani community. We had a meeting with them. We had a meeting and we reached the conclusion that anytime we see a cattle on the farm, they pay for everything. Even if the cattle just ate one root of cassava, they pay for everything on the farm. And if we're able to get our videos, then they know that they won't escape it. Then another thing that we're able to do also was to go to the traditional leader of that community, and we reported them, and they also called them for a meeting, and we actually reached a conclusion. But if you're going into vegetables and all that, you can actually plant castor oil. You can plant castor oil at the boundaries of your farm. Cattle don't take castor oil. They don't eat castor oil leaf. They don't. So by the time they smell it, they leave the place. So those are the things that we've been able to do actually.
Thank you so much for sharing that. But the core there is not just the specific example shared by Mr. Tenuke. It's the principle of asking the right question. The fact that you are asking the question right here, that's part of it. Asking people who are already into this business how they address this challenge, which is going to be vary from one community to another, is a critical component. For instance, the idea of the castor oil, the idea of actually building some kind of ditch around your farm, different things. But the core principle here is asking the right question, learning about it. It's important. So there are a number of other wonderful questions there, but we have just 5 minutes to go. I don't know whether it's Mr. or Mrs. Messi Olaniro is asking, how many hectares of land can one start with planting of potatoes for a start? Well, maybe to answer that, it depends on you. Its size and small, it's relative. For someone, Africa, it's small. For another person, Africa, it's big. For someone, 10 acres, it's small. For another person, it's a relative term. So that needs to be placed into context. Mr. Testimony is asking, my question is, I love animal, but since then, I started a business of fish rabbit. Both business crashed twice, despite starting small. What is your advice? Well, I think for us to be able to offer any advice, we need to know why they crash. We need to understand things behind it. So we're going to bring some of this question also into the group as we go ahead. Like Mr. Musada, I also have another question about sorting products into grade A, grade two. How do you go about it? So these are questions that we take up a little bit further in the group conversation as we kick that off this week. So I really, 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 really want to thank all our members of panelists. But before we round up today, I would love to bring back our daddy who is in the house, the VC of Osun State University. Earlier on, I think there was an issue with the mute or no mute. So we're unable to hear from him, but it's right here. He has been actually here from the beginning up to now. We would love to hear from you before we round up today. Maybe just like a closing remark before we announce the winners of our challenge. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, guys. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear, sir.
Yes, Yes, like you stated, I had a technical hitch, but I came around quite quickly. I have been following all the discussions, and what I want to plead with the young guys in the house, there is need for patience and endurance. I mean, some of the questions that I have read indicate that people think things can just happen fast, 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 fast. That's one of the problems in this country. The endurance level is very limited. Anything good needs time, and it needs a lot of mentoring. So please and please and please let us exercise patience. I'm enjoying this activity. I'm sure by the time we have up to 4, 5, 6 sessions, opinions would have been formed, knowledge would have been gained, understanding would have been gained, then you can start deploying. So Cornelius, thank you very much for this. And also thank all the panelists. You've done wonderfully well. Let's keep this up. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. We are even more encouraged by your mentorship, by your guidance, and by investment of your time. I know how expensive the time of a VC of a university is. So this means a lot to us, having you here with us. It means so much to us. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I won't be able to take further questions. Time is a critical component we need to respect. We said 90 minutes. I really want to respect that as well. But the conversation doesn't end here. It continues. For people that have not really joined the group, please do. We're going to take some of these questions to some of our members of the panel, the panelists, maybe to answer some of them in different ways that they could, and then we're going to share them in the group. So if you see have questions, type this question in the chat box, type them in the question and answer a functionality around here too. We're going to take them and answer them. But first of all, I really want to thank all our panelists. Mr. Tinuke, it means a lot to us for you here. We hope that we can still have you back next week. We will really, 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 really love to still have you back. We know how busy this time is, especially given so much demand with your main crops. So we really, really, really love to have you back. The same thing also, Elizabeth. We still love to bring you back as well. And also, Mr. Biola and Ms. Sheyi, thank you for sharing your ideas ahead. Okay, I'm going to paste the link for the WhatsApp group here just now for people that have not been in our email list, so that people can also have a direct link to it. Let me just paste it in the chat box. For everybody. Yes, so I'll put it in the chat box for people that want to join the WhatsApp conversation as we take it up. So, yeah, is that time for us to announce the winner of our challenge this week? So I want to bring the challenge that we have this week to the advice given by the VC earlier on. Patience and giving yourself time to succeed. And I think when you understand the core of your business, of why you are in the business, that it helps. That's the reason why the question today is asking people, why are you in this business? Why do you want to do this agribusiness? And we have so many people submitting entries. I think we have close to 50 people that participated in the challenge. Most people write things, I want to make money. A lot of people are very vague in terms of, I want to solve the whole national problem and all of that. The idea is, so this is one of the things we're going to be addressing in our group, teaching you core principles that is important to understand. Knowing the why helps you build the patience and endurance. of why of the core of your business. Maybe by next week, Ms. Atunuke can share the why. I know she's passionate about nutrition. So anyway, without wasting further time, for the challenge, instead of one, we're actually going to give it to two people. The first person is Deborah Oyaleke. I hope she's here. If she's not here, she's not going to get a prize. If you are here, you can type, yes, I'm here. I really love the why of what she shared. She said, the why of my business is to make my family and people around me healthy. It's specific. It's achievable. Because when you can do that, then you can replicate it, which is the core of the whole idea. So that helps. Having the right perspective, it's important. The second person that we're also going to give it to, I know we said we're only going to have one winner, but we want to be generous and have more to hit as well. I'm not even sure whether it's Olu Kani, Olu Tola. She shared the idea that I want to help people with high blood pressure and diabetes patients to eat healthy by serving meat products that are processed under hygienic conditions. That's specific. So we're going to be talking more also about this probably in 2 weeks' time. How do you find the core of your business? How do you hone that down? So congratulations to Olu Kani and Deborah. We're going to get in touch with them so that we can get their prize across to them as well. So without further ado, I really, really appreciate everyone for being here today. Mr. Isaiah Oladoja, I know you've been raising your hand. I've sent messages a couple of times. Please, you can send a question through the chat box. We'll be able to take it further from there. Thank you. Thank you so much for all you've done. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. We hope to have everyone here next week. Also, you can invite as many people within your network.